Agamara tells us here in Tumuri Yadal and Beis, the same din which appears in Gittin Adav Samach, based on the Psukim, the Torah in Parashas Kisisa, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ksov Lecha, or Ksov Lecha, I should say, Ksov Lecha is Hadvar Mo'ele, Ki Al Pi Hadvar Mo'ele Karat Yitcha Bris Ves Yisrael. The Gemara says this pasuk should be split between the Ksov Lecha and the Al Pi Hadvar Mo'ele, but there are two components of Torah. There is Torah Shebichsav, and there is Torah Shebaal Peh. These two components were both given to us at Sinai, and they are both important. You can't have Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh. It's virtually incomprehensible. But you also can't just have Torah Shebaal Peh without being rooted in the Torah Shebichsav. And there are reasons why this structure, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his infinite wisdom, put this in place for us. I have a kuntres called V'chai Olam Nata B'Sochenu. It's a kuntres that was published in Israel for teachers developing ideas having to do with Torah Shebaal Peh. So they collect different yesodos, different ideas about how we should understand the development of Torah. And one of them is the interplay between the written Torah and the oral Torah. If we only had a written Torah, it would be impossible to include all of the different halachos and developments. So we needed to have that flexibility. We also have a tradition that can never be taken away from us. Perhaps it relates to the issue about the Tirgum, the challenge of the Tirgum. But at any rate, our topic today is not so much the concept of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, but the Gemara's instruction that this Ksov Lecha is Hadvar Mo'ele must remain that way. These things which are Shebichsav, I Ata Rashai La'Omer Al Peh, and those things which are Al Pi, those are I Ata Rashai La'Omer Bichsav. The Gemara then presents another drasha of Ha'ele Eila Ata Kosev Al Ina Ata Kosev Halachos. We're not going to focus on that today, but there is a discussion of this in the Mishnas Yavitz. It's a beautiful essay on this entire topic in the Mishnas Yavitz, or Bitzal Zolti. In the Mishnas Yavitz, in Orach Chaim, I think it's Simon Lamed, yes, it's in the holiday of Shavuos, he has an essay on Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh. It's masterful. So we're going to focus on what does this mean, that there is a requirement to remain separate, for Torah Shebichsav to remain in its written form and the Torah Shebaal Peh to remain in its oral form. It's very interesting. The Lashon HaGemara is somewhat unusual. It doesn't say Asur Lichtov Torah Shebaal Peh or Asur Likro Torah Shebichsav. It just says Dvarm Shebichsav Iato Rashai La'Omer Baal Peh. You are not permitted. What does it mean? What exactly does that mean? It doesn't say Besar Of Becholov Iato Rashai Lechol. You can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? You're not allowed to. It's an Isser. It's also to do it. So you get the impression that this requirement to maintain the written nature of Torah Shebichsav and the oral nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is different than the standard Isser. If you look in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, you don't find anyone who counts a specific Isser to write Torah Shebaal Peh or to read out loud Torah Shebichsav. So we need to understand, what is the nature of this din? What are the parameters of this din? What are the limitations? What is it all about? So one way of thinking about this is that it's a concept where the Torah is trying to maintain the integrity of these two Torahs, of the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebichsav, and for maintaining and ensuring the reliability, the veracity of these traditions, it's important to make sure that we follow these prescriptions, because that will be the best check and balance to make sure that the system is accurate. Right? One of the amazing things, there's an awesome article by Dr. Lyman, by Schneer, in one of the tradition articles about the development of the Masorah in terms of the actual written text. and how they had sofrim. The Rambam quotes the Ben Asher family. The Rambam describes exactly what the Masor was, of how many lines and how many letters. So there are checks and balances between the development of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So we want to make sure there are no mistakes. That's one way of looking at this. And in that respect, it's more of an iser that relates to the function, how to pass on this generation, this tradition through the generations. The other way to look at it is, it's not so much about making sure that mistakes don't creep into the Masorah. It's that there is some character that needs to maintain itself in the way that the Rebbe Shlomo wants the tradition to be passed on. It's not about making sure that there are no mistakes. It's that this is the Ratzon Hashem that we should engage in Talmud Torah in these two modes. And even if you could ensure it would be totally accurate, Lenetzach Netzachim, it's still important to have Torah Shebichtav be Bichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh be Baal Peh. And we will see that these two ideas of practical versus fundamental, you could say, are going to keep appearing over and over throughout this discussion. So let's start with the smaller bite, which is the iser, or the restriction, or the rule, that we are not supposed to write down the Dvarim Shebaal Peh. So that, the Ran in Megillah, on Yudalan of Aleph, the Ran says, yeah, well, if you write down the Dvarim Shebaal Peh, you're going to miss out on some of the things that you would have learned from your Rebbe. It's going to be a kilkul if you write it down and you don't maintain the tradition, the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. You're going to lose your connection to your Rebbe.
This is
that Ron in Yudalit. Before he talks about the Easter,
this is really the contemporary problem with Rabbi.
Yes. The Ron says, the Lashon of the Ron, what is there? The Lashon of the Ron is Megillah, not Yudalit. Why? The Talmud and Milsa. Which we'll talk about in a little bit. The Kriv Halokziv, the Kabasayu. V'yamadu Balpeh Batzulu. V'chein Dvarim Shebalpeh. Hey, Pirush, Dvarim Shebechzav. Ukshein Emarim El Balpeh. E'ef Shalaman Aleim El Mipi Malami. Shefar Shalap Pirush Yofeh. V'ilo Ayanichtav. Efsha Shiestapik Po. Shalo Yavin Aloshon. If it was all written down and you didn't have a Rebbe to explain it to you, so then maybe you would misunderstand. You wouldn't get it. That's one way of looking at it. Or
it's that you wouldn't get what the Sefer is saying, or you will lose the connection with your Rebbe in the first place.
Well,
or both.
No, he says that the issue is that you will not understand adequately what the Sefer means. But the other way of saying it is the second way that you're explaining it, is that it's more of a fundamental issue, which is that we want to make sure that the Masorah is passed along from one person to the next in this exchange, this fusion of generations, which is a major, major theme that Rav Schechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav was super into this. If you want to listen to one of the most dramatic, amazing, amazing messages, a symposium of generations. You can play the audio now. Right? It's unbelievable. So this idea only exists when you have an interpersonal connection between a Rebbe and a Talmud. So there, Rabbi Carmi has a couple of essays on this, I think at least one, quoting from the Rav. But the Rav talks about this in many, many places. If you're looking for a good summary of some of his ideas, he presents them in the section on Masorah in the beginning of the latest book called Halachic Morality, I think. In the Rav's Ashurim on Pirkei Avos. In the beginning, he has a whole section on the concept of Masorah. So this idea about having a Rebbe and a Talmud and that interchange, that exchange of ideas, that Moshe Rabbeinu with the Pach Shel Dio, with the extra Dio on the forehead, all of that, it's not so much that you're going to make a mistake, it's that you need that.
But
so,
then there's no Rishon that says that.
That says what?
Well, that talks about the importance of the tradition or the Masorah or the Rebbe instead of just that you will misunderstand what you write down.
So there are lots of discussions about the importance of Torah Shebaal Peh.
Right.
That's not the approach of the Rav. That's what I'm pointing out.
Right.
So the Rav develops this at length. There are other Rishonim who talk about the importance in different ways. So I'm just using that as a foil.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of vis-a-vis an actual Rishon that writes on this sugya, so nobody says that.
Well, I can't say nobody says it. I didn't see anybody on this particular sugya who makes that point. So the question is, what exactly is the Isser to write down the Dvarim Shebaal Peh? So Rashi is not super clear, because Rashi in Gittin, where the Gemara appears in Samach Amud Beis, Rashi says you're not allowed to write down. But Rashi in Shabbos on Daf Bava Amud Beis is very clear that there is an Isser to write down Torah Shebaal Peh in any fashion. That was the original Isser. And that's why there's something called the Megillah Starim, because it wasn't supposed to be written, it was supposed to be hidden away. However, the Rambam doesn't seem to agree with that. And the Rashi is, I'll just get Gemara Shabbos, Rashi is Shebaal Amud Beis. Rashi's Vav on the Beis. The Gemara says, Matzasim Megill Astar in Bei Rebichia. And Rashi says, Megill Astar in Shistirua, Vimnesha lo nitna lichtov. You couldn't write it. Uchashashoma divra yachin chadash v'shein anishin v'vesek. Medrash, the Kosinu Sashul Yishtaku, Mastirin Samagila. They would write it down, but then they would hide it right away, because they had to get rid of it.
That Rashi is only going on the Megillah Star themselves, not Torah Shabbat as a whole.
No, Torah Shabbat Pen.
Sorry, not Torah Shabbat as a whole. That's just.
No, I mean, he's explaining why would they master these Megillahs? Why did they have to get rid of them?
But he's explaining just for these Megillahs, not for anything else written. He doesn't say, and furthermore, everything we write down we have to get rid of. He's just saying, for these Megillahs that we write down we have to get rid of.
There was nothing written down.
I mean, there was nothing else except for that.
Nothing was written down.
That was the issue.
That was the problem.
It's so funny that Rashi connects what we write down, what the Gemara ends up saying, is his mother.
What's that?
What? I mean, Rashi says they would write down the Davar Chadash, which the Gemara ends up saying is that
yes.
Impetus for getting rid of the whole.
That was the excuse for to allow it in the first place.
And then everything works.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It's funny.
So, as opposed to this Rashi, you look in the Rambam in the Hakdama, in his introduction to the Arif Hazaka, the Rambam. Sounds like that's not the issue. Because the Rambam is very clear that throughout the Masorah, throughout the generations, Chachamim did write down that which they learned.
For and, themselves.
Oh, and for them, exactly.
Like Rashi?
No. Not like Rashi at all.
What does he say for
I'll
themselves?
Read it again. Rashi says that it was a problem to write it down for yourself.
No, what is this Megillat Starim? This Megillat Starim.
Shistirua mipnei shelo nitna lichasov.
Vidyuk istirua for others.
No. Megillat Starim means they put it away in Kenisa.
Because even though it was only for them, it was still a problem.
Because they will look in this Megillat Starim when they will not remember the exact halacha, so they know. Okay, I go to the. Aliyat Agad and look at this Megillat Starim.
Right, but according to the Rambam, that's...
According to the Rambam too.
According to the Rambam, you can look at it whenever you want. It's right there. Or you can take your notes and look at it all you want. Don't have to hide it.
Nothing does you.
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. And Rashi...
That's
how we
agree, but it's not Rashi.
No, Rashi's saying it was a problem.
Rashi says that's the problem.
Not the Megillat Starim.
Yes.
Okay, I don't agree with you. And also, I think the pashtus of the Rashi in Gittin on Samach Amud Beis, where Rashi says that the Isser to write down Sha'atalmud lo nitan lichtov elonei sha'atorah mishtakachas. You couldn't write it down. It's a blanket Isser to write it down. That's the simple pshat. The Rambam is a chiddush. The Rambam says that the only iser was to write it down for the purpose of using it as the basis of your teaching. So if you're giving a shiur and you have notes, so the Rambam says that is the problem. That's what the Rambam writes. So this is the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. What's the nature of this machlokas? So perhaps they're focusing on two different aspects of the Torah Shebaal Peh. According to Rashi, perhaps, no one's allowed to write it down. Why is nobody allowed to write it down? Because we want to maintain these two independent channels, the Torah Shebaal Sav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Maybe Rashi is like the Rambam, that if you allow people to start writing it down, then there's going to be some mistakes that are going to creep in, because people are going to start learning on their own, and they're not going to adequately focus on learning from a teacher. But for the Rambam, it seems that that's not the pshat. For the Rambam, it seems that the Isser is an Isser that's formulaic, that teaches you how you're supposed to teach. There's nothing wrong with writing it down be'etzem. You can write down as much as you want. Just you can't teach in that way, because the teaching takes away from the, if you're teaching from your notes, it takes away from the Rebbe Talmud relationship. And that's supposed to be a discussion. It's not supposed to be rooted in a text.
Mm.
It's more fundamental.
More
perhaps.
Discussion.
What's that?
More discussion.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. That's why we have Seder. All together. So this Hesber fits Rav Schechter's introduction. Rav Schechter's first piece in Nefesh HaRav is a long section of the Inyanim HaSorah from Rav Soloveitchik, and he suggests that this idea of creating what is Torah Shebaal Peh and what is Torah Shebichsav depends on this issue of when you taught Mitoch HaKsav. So he quotes Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He suggests that for the Rambam, the reason why the Rambam listed all the Chachmei HaMasorah from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rav Ashi was because until that point, that was called Torah Shebaal Peh, because they were not teaching from a text. They were teaching Baal Peh. And that's why the Rambam gives you these people, because that is the Chaloshem Torah Shebaal Peh, Nafkamina for Zakei Mamre and other dinim, potentially also this one of Dvar Shebaal Peh, Yata Rashai Lechosva. The only challenge with this shot is that it's hard to know historically if that was really the case. And he quotes in the footnote two different opinions. If you look in the Stechemed in Ma'areches Dalet Klal Chof Beis, he's not so sure about that. And when you look in the Rambam himself, you get the impression that they started writing the entire Mishnayos down at the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and they started teaching from the Mishnayos at that time.
The Rambam himself sounds like that.
That's what it sounds like. Because the Rambam is contrasting. He's saying, until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, they wrote for themselves, and they didn't teach from their notes. And then things shifted. What did it shift to? It shifted to teaching from your notes.
Right. And he says it explicitly. He says, Rebbe wrote the Sefer HaMishnah,
and
he taught it Berabim.
Exactly, he taught it Berabim, yeah.
Why was that problematic with Rambam?
Because what Rav Schechter is saying is that they didn't start teaching Mitoch HaKsav until the end of the Gemara.
Yeah. Why does that make this shot not tenable in the Gemara? Even if you say Anchan Amin Rebbe did teach Mitoch HaKsav, why would that be problematic b'etzem with the Mahalach? Even if it's
because Rav Schechter's Mahalach is to say that you don't have a Chal Shem Chachmei HaMasorah if you teach Mitoch HaKsav.
Okay,
but it's fundamentally changed from that point.
You're saying it would kill the Gemara.
So what happens in Gemara?
That's why it's hard for me to understand.
What?
No, but if the point is,
Rav Schechter's Mahalach, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Mahalach, as it's quoted here, is to say that once you start teaching Mitoch HaKsav, you're not from the Chachmei HaMasorah. But the Rambam seems to indicate that they started teaching Mitoch HaKsav from the days of Rebbe.
So that's different than the Rebbe's
I didn't see the Dorfi. I'm just telling you what.
So I didn't see the Yad HaChazaki inside, but Rabbi Kraft and I are learning Torah Sarat Shal Seder of Avinir's Pershin of Talmud Pershin Mishnayos.
Yes, great.
Where he basically formulates a view to Nasi and what happened there as nothing being written down, but that there was a compilation. He compiled everything, but didn't write anything.
Seems like there's a manuscript.
And it didn't happen until at some point in time after that.
How do you compile that?
He compiled it after that.
He organized it in his mind.
Exactly. That's the Pashtus in the Hakdamah to the Yad HaChazaka. That's what he says. So that's why it's hard for me to understand this. I think there is a different shot, perhaps, as to why the Rambam gave these people, which is amazing, amazing, unbelievable, which appears in the Hapardes. Showed it to Rabbi Kraft this morning. I can email it to you. Rabbi Pardes on Gimel Shvat went to the Beis Medrash Anshei Brisk, where he attended a shiur from Rav Soloveitchik, which he wrote up subsequently and published as an entire edition, a Mosif HaPardes. It's like 55 pages long, this shiur that the Rav gave on Kiddush HaKodesh. And in the context of that shiur, the Rav quotes an idea that he said he told to his father, and that he said it to his father a few times, and his father really liked it. And this was the idea that the Chachmei HaMasora are not just responsible for the actual transmission, the authoritative transmission of Torah Sheba'al Peh, but they're also responsible for the establishment of what he called the Chalos of the Masora. There was a Chalos of the Masora on these people. What's the nafkamina of that? So the Rambam says that one of the kofrim beikar, lo aleinu, is makhish magideha. You're makhish magideha. So who are the magidei Torah Sheba'al Peh? The answer is the Chachmei HaMasora. So perhaps what the Rambam is trying to tell you is that Ravina Ravashi Sofara, what that means is that, of course, there is track one, which that's Rav Schechter quotes in the Meiri. There is a Masorah that goes all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu till the Meiri's time. But Ravina Ravashi Sofara means this is the end of the Chalos Shem Chachmei HaMasorah. Because that was...
After that,
you're not called Chachmei HaMasorah. You don't have the din of a full-fledged apikores or a mumar of the din of Machish Magideh. Because now there's no kibbutz Chachmei HaMasorah altogether. It's after the Chasimus HaTalmud. And therefore, that din doesn't apply. So perhaps that's not what the Rav is talking about there in terms of why those people are listed, but in light of that finish of Rav Soloveitchik, these people have the chalos shem of Balei HaMasora, maybe that's why the Rambam listed all their names and didn't go further. Because the Rambam is telling you, only those Chachamim have the status of Chachmei HaMasora.
It'd be bizarre that Rambam gave that list over there for the purpose of random din
Agave. Not at all, because if you look at what the Rambam is teaching you, the Rambam is trying to teach you what is the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh, what is the place of his Sefer. So the Rambam wants to tell you that Ravina Ravashi is Sofara, because this is the essential development of Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's exactly what the Rambam is trying to do there. He's trying to give you the background, and it's not just a history lesson. Yes, it is a history lesson, but why? Why is the Rambam giving you a history lesson of what are the names of the rabbis, the 40 Rabbanim, the 40 Balei HaMasora, from Moshe Rabbeinu until Ravashi? And by the way, there are interesting nafkaminas of who's left out of that list, because there are other Rishonim who are of a different mind of who should be on that list. Rav Schwartz pointed out to me that Devorah is not on this list. But he told me a long time ago, I think he said that there's some other Rishonim who include Devorah on the list. So it's a question of who has the Chalos Shem Balei HaMasora, and that omission of Devorah may have significant ramifications in other areas of Halacha. So the idea is, going back to where we started, so I couldn't help but share this, because it's such an amazing vort. The idea of there's the practical transmission of the Masorah, and then there's the Chalos Shem Masorah. Well, that Chalos Shem Masorah has a nafkamina from Makish Magideh, meaning they have a certain ma'amad. That ma'amad only applies to the Tanoim and Amoraim. Beyond that, they're not at the level, and therefore it's possible to argue on them. Ravina Ravashi Sofara, once anything is possible in the Gemara, you have no ability to argue on it. That's the status of Balei HaMasora. You can't argue on them. Once that status is concluded, then you can argue, the Achronim can argue on the Rishonim in theory, yeah.
So how did that happen?
How did it happen
that one? Why, once the Gemara is written, why is that the ending point?
Oh, because that was the point of dispersion. At that point, we lost the...
You know, asking, what are you asking?
Why are Rav Ashi done the Gemara?
Because they wrote it down. It's a whole
okay.
And why did they write it down? Because there was a further dispersion that was essentially the falling apart of the Kibbutz Chachmei HaMasorah. And
right,
that's
so
why
was Ravina and Rashi the last of HaMasorah? Because they wrote down the Gemara.
Right. But why did they do that? Because they saw that the unification, what the Rambam says, is they saw that the collection of all the Chachamim in one place was dissipating.
Even though we know that for the next 400 years, 80% of the Jews were in Babel anyway.
Right, but the Rambam says that
it's about the whole atmosphere.
Exactly. It's a totally different experience. That's what the Rambam says in the beginning of the Yad. And that's why we can't argue on the Gemara, because the Gemara, once they come to a Psak, that's considered the last formal Amida Laminyan. There's no more Amida Laminyan after that. Ravina Ravashi Sofara means that's the end of a formal acceptance of what is the Halakha, and you can't argue on that, because you would have to, in theory, and this is, goes back to the Chiddush HaSmicha question, but in theory you would have to get a kibbutz of all Chachmei HaMasorah together in one place, like they had in the time of Babel. If you could do that, so... then you would reconstruct.
Did they not
what
do
they
that
had.
Every Yarchei Kala after?
Correct. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam says, read you. Where's the right Rambam Mada?
The Rambam says that after that, everything kind of fell apart. It says,
I'm saying, does he explain why, or does he just says it fell apart?
Historical circumstances.
The Ravi says there was more and more influx of influence from the outside non-Jewish populace, and as soon as that was a chashash, they wanted to make sure that they were
the non-Jews started influencing halacha.
They influenced Jewish attitudes. They wanted to make sure that non-Jews didn't.
And there wasn't an influence of Jewish attitude beforehand? The Hanukkah story.
It was. The biggest issue was that was in Babel wasn't the Choshivot.
Yeah, they weren't
like,
at the
like
same mind.
The yeshivot,
exactly.
The Yeshivot changed.
Right, but that's always true.
No. The Yeshivot, the Mossad institution, Yeshiva, then it changed to after that, it was Savorim, a little bit after that, it became Gionim. Why Gionim? Because there was Yeshivot.
Here it is.
It was the Rosh.
The Losh of the Rambam is the following. You have to follow everything that it says in the Gemara. Kol Torm Shibatama Babli Chayavim Kol Beis Yisrael Alechasben Bekofin Kol Ir Veir Bechol Medina Medina Lignan Bechol Mekomos Shenoagu Chachomen Shibatama Beligs Or Gzeres Lalechas Kibitikunam. Why? Hol Vechol Osan Adwarm Shibatamud Hiskimo Aleim Kol Yisrael Beosan Chachomim Shiskino Oshigazu Oshinhigu Oshidon Udin Ben Lomdu Shamish Batachu Heim Kol Chachme Yisrael O Ruban. That's it. After that, they are called Gaonim. And all of these Gaonim, whether in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Shinar, and Sfarad, Tzarpas, Lomdu Derech HaTalmud, Behotzi La'or, and they tried to explain it the best that they could, but it was not at the same level of concentrated learning that they had in the time of the Gemara. And therefore, you can't say that any psak of any Gaon is as authoritative. That's the Rambam says. Good?
I can't argue with the Rambam.
Good. I wouldn't want to. So now that we got to this, what happened?
But still when?
Yes.
We?
Bekitzer.
We are basking from the Rishonim.
Why? Because most of the things in the Gemara don't have a clear conclusion. That's why. That's the issue. If you have a psak, how many issues are closed, open and shut, closed, hilchasa, done, finish? Very few. That's why we follow the Rishonim, because most things are not clarified to their conclusion, the Gemara. So, let's get back. How did it become Mutter? So, we say, Eis lasis lashem, efer Torah sefer. So, the same way that the Gemara says in Gittin, that they were allowed to write the Megillus, even though you're not supposed to write less than a whole Chumash, So it's Eis Lasos. You had to write these little Megillos for the children. You had to have Chinuch. So Eis Lasos, you have to write Sifrei Torah Shebaal Peh. So this issue of Eis Lasos is an interesting question. What does it mean, Eis Lasos? Is it that once you have an Eis Lasos, well then, the door is open. It's all over. It's finished. As many svarim as you want. And maybe this goes back to the same core question that we asked in the first place. If this din of not writing down Dvarim Shebaal Peh is because we want to make sure that there are no mistakes, so that you clarify it like the Ran says. So once you started writing them down, just write more svarim and just keep clarifying and keep clarifying, keep writing it down. And that's it. Or is it no? Eis Lasos is a bare bones dochak heter, just an absolute case of emergency, and that when it's not an emergency, you want to maintain the tzura of a connection between a Rebbe and a Talmud. Which one is it? Is it about the mistakes? So just write more and more. Once you open the door, keep writing. Or is it about keeping that connection? So it's interesting, there is a machlokas.
We're
finished with that. We're going to move on. So if you look, the Chasam Sofer in Ora Chaim, Simen Reish Ches has a tshuva. He has a tshuva to the Maritz Chayis. And in the beginning of this tshuva to the Maritz Chayis, in the top of the second column, he notes that there are a bunch of people who are trying to be they're publishing Machabe Svarim Chadashim, that they're Machaber Svarim Uma'arif B'machshavto L'gadol Shmo. They're doing it for self-promotion, to promote themselves in their... So what does he write? He says, this person who does this is over Milvachu, over Isser D'Oraisa. Of what? Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yatarai L'Chosron. It's only of Mutter because of Eis Lasos L'Hashem. And if he doesn't do it L'Hashem, it's Usura B'Mekomo. That's the Chasam Sofer writes in Shul.
It's not for Hashem, then.
Yeah. It's got to be absolutely essential. And if you look in the Stechemed, in Oschav Beis, he quotes from Rav Nosson Adler. Who was Rav Nosson Adler? Yes. So he quotes Rav Nosson Adler, and he says, you notice Rav Nosson Adler never wrote a Sefer. He says, why? Because Rav Nosson Adler was concerned not to violate Dvarim Shebesav Iyata Rashai L'Chosman. So for that reason, he's not going to write it down.
He quotes the Bishmo, or where is this? Someone else quotes it, but that's not saying it.
He says, Shebishas Mishnah Shalagon Rav Nosson Maharan Hayanirsham Nikudos Vikosha Vitsido Vitsarachian O Nikudos Levad. Rav Nosson Adler didn't write any notes in his Gemara. He just would write a Nakuda or a Tsarachian. So he quotes this from a Sefer. The Sefer is called Chut HaMishulash. It's about the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Ksav Sofer. And it quotes in a Haggah of this Chut HaMishulash. He quotes on Rav Nosson Adler that Rav Nosson Adler never forgot anything he learned. In the Mela, there was no reason for him to write it down. And if he were to have written it down, it would have been a violation of Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yata Rashai L'Chosron, because you don't need to. The whole heter is just because Eis Lasos, but he didn't need it. And therefore, he never wrote down Chidushei Torah, and that's what it is. That's the Masorah. But if you look in Rav Avadya, in the Tshuvas Yechav Adas, in Chela Gimel, Simon Ayin Dalet, where Rav Avadya is discussing, it's actually a very long tshuva for relative to Yechav Adas size, for Rav Avadya in that series of tshuvas, Rav Avadya is discussing somebody writing a doctorate in Jewish studies. There's a mutter to write it down because it's for lo lishma reasons, and then at the end, the last os, I think it's os yud, way at the end, he says, well, how can you write the doctorate because, wait a minute, it's Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yata Rashai So he concludes, he says, no, once there was an Ace Lassos, the gates are open. That's what he concludes. That's it. And now it's all open. So, but I wonder if this is, maybe it's possibly related. But the other issue that is underneath this machlokes is what is the nature of the Yisur. For the Chasam Sofer actually thinks that this is an Yisur Daraisa. Unless you take that as a rhetorical flourish, he actually thinks that the original prohibition of writing Torah Shebal Peh was an Yisur Daraisa. But Rav Avadya quotes a whole slew of Achronim, most of whom I never even heard of, who pointed out that that's not an Yisur Daraisa, that's only an Asmachta. It's only an Yisur Darabah. And this brings us to the other side of the coin. What about teaching Baal Peh Dvarim Shebichsav? What's the nature of that Yisur? So this is what we saw. If you look, this din does not appear anywhere codified in the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. It doesn't appear in the Rambam's Hilchos Talmud Torah. It doesn't appear in Hilchos Sefer Torah. It appears in the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Ches. It's tucked away in there, and it says that you're not allowed to read Mitoch HaKsav, the Torah Shalom Mitoch HaKsav, which the Kesem Mishnah says, oh, that's our Isser of reading Torah Shebech Ksav Baal Peh.
Where is this again?
That's in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Ches. So the question is, what's the nature of this Rambam? So the Stechemed, and this is in Ma'areches Dalet Klal Dalet, a different one, because he has two separate ones. Ad Khan, until now, we've been talking in the Chabura about Dvarim Shebal Peh, writing them down. We're now switching. We're talking about Dvarim Shebichsav, speaking them out. So this is the other Ma'aracha in the Stechemed. So the Stechemed quotes two opinions, whether or not it's an Issa Daraisa in this direction. But the Urayim, we saw the Urayim. The Urayim is in Os, in Simen. Wrote it down. Depending on your edition. The edition that I have here, it's in Reish Samach Ches, and in the bracket it's Kuf Chav Ches. So it depends on which edition you have. The Urayim says the whole thing is only an Asmachta, and there are many who bring Rayas from the Gemara Yuma on Daf Ayin, where the Gemara Yuma says, you know why the Kohen Gadol read the Shalom Itoch HaKsav, he read it Baal Peh? Well, because it would have been an issue, you could bring another Sefer Torah because of Pagam Moshe Rishon, and you didn't want to roll because it's a Kavanat Zibor problem. So he couldn't do it, and he couldn't do it anyway else, so that's what they did. I don't understand. If it's an Issa Daraisa, so you'll wait 5 minutes. So it sounds like, so some Achronim point out that that's only an Issa Darabon, and if you look at the Lashon of the Tosi Yishanim there, the Lashon of Tosi Yishanim is that it's a mitzvah min amuvchar.
Yuma
dafayim. Mitzvah min amuvchar. Mitzvah min amuvchar, hard to believe that that's a din d'oraisa. We all know the old din that there's no such thing as lechatchila b'di'eved when it comes to. I'm sorry, we all know that there is such a thing as lechatchila b'di'eved on a d'oraisa level when it comes to mitzvos, but you would have to explain, right, as opposed to a matir, this is that Tosis in the Ed of Nida that we quote a lot. So yes, there is such a din, and you could say that, let's say, Tcheles is a lechatchila daraisa more than Lavan, but you would have to explain how this din of Shalom Mitoch HaKsav, where do you find that there is such a mitzvah min amuvchar daraisa? The Lashon mitzvah min amuvchar sounds like it's a derabanan, even though conceptually you could have a...
It doesn't sound right.
Exactly. So the pashtus is, the overwhelming majority assume that this is only an Issa Darabanan. Well, what is the reason for this Issa Darabanan? So perhaps you could identify 5 possible reasons. Beis Yosef quotes from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, the footnote in the Shiras Devorah in my Machon Yerushalayim edition says, we don't know where this Yerushalmi is. So it's a mysterious Yerushalmi. It's not in that Gemara in Yuma. Maybe it's somewhere else. It's this mysterious Yerushalmi. It says, well, maybe if somebody is reading from a Sefer Torah and they start reading like this, that people are going to think that something is missing from the Sefer Torah. Maybe something is missing. And that's why that Yerushalmi says only plus with Sefer Torah. But that's one concern. You might think the Sefer Torah is missing, because otherwise why aren't you looking inside? That's one reason why you're not allowed to read Shalom Mitoch HaKsav. Beis Yosef himself says, similar to the first Amar Malkam that we had, that Ran in Megillah, that if you're going to read outside, maybe you're going to miss the Chaserus of Yaserus. You're not going to pay attention to the special drushas of the Kriz and the Ksivs, if you're just reading it about that. The third concern is the Radvaz. This is in Chelek Dal and Simon Kuf Lamed Hey. I'm going to focus now. Sorry, just we're Kotzer in this man. The Radvaz, he says, Kevon Shinitna Bechsav, Sarach Sheyinog Bo V'Yikra Bechsav, Kein Nisinasa. So what's the difference between the first two Mahalchim, the Beis Yosef's two approaches, and the Radvaz? The same core question that we started with. Is this an issue of practical ensuring the veracity of what you have in front of you? So therefore, well, if you start reading Baal Peh, maybe people are going to think there's a mistake, or maybe you're actually going to miss something. But for the Radvaz, it has nothing to do with the practical considerations. It's not that you're going to make a mistake. It's not that we're trying to make sure that the tradition is accurate. It's that that's not the tsura. That's not the way you learn Torah Shebichsav. The way Torah Shebichsav was written and given is the way it must always be. If it was given Bichsav, then you have to learn a Bichsav. You have to figure out what it means, Megillah, Megillah versus Chasuma Nitna, what happened in those intervening times. Good question. But that Radvaz, that Shubas Radvaz, definitely sounds more like this idea from the Rambam, that it's about a Tzura, that you have to maintain the kind of Masorah, the style of the Masorah, even though it's not going to affect the outcome. The Urayim has two final practical concerns. Number one, he says, you know what's going to happen if everybody just starts reading it Baal Peh? No one's going to bother writing it down. It's expensive, it's time-consuming, so people are going to stop. And the other issue is that he says that, you know what the Amoratzim are going to say? Amoratzim are going to say, oh, the rabbis, they didn't even look in the Chumash, they just made it up. So therefore, to make sure that the Amoratzim don't ruin Yiddishkeit, so we should make sure to keep it written. But those are the reasons. However, the Gemara presents several Yotzim in a cloud. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin we mentioned has that the Kohen Gadol would read on Yom Kippur, Shalom Mitoch HaKsav. Similarly, the Gemara in Tanis and Daf Chav Ches mentions that in the Ma'amados, when they would come back from Mincha, they would not read Mitoch HaKsav, they wouldn't bring a Sefer Torah. Shachris Musaf they did, but not Mincha time. They read the Ma'amados, Shalom Mitoch HaKsav. Ayin Shem, it's interesting discussion in the topic of Purim, of Kara Baal Peh. On the one hand, the Gemara in Purim has an added stringency that even to be Motzi yourself, you can't read it Baal Peh. On the other hand, there's a Kula, because if you have a Megillah that's missing some letters, you're still Yotzi, you're allowed to read it Mitoch, Shalom Mitoch HaKsav, as long as it's less than majority, which is different than a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, although we'll talk about that in a second, Sefer Torah, Lechatchila at least, if it's Chosor Osachas, the Rambam says Beferish, Sefer Torah Shechosor Osachas is possible. It doesn't mean you can't read it necessarily, but fundamentally it's possible. So there's a difference between a Megillah and a Sefer Torah. So we see in the Gemara that there are Yotzim and Aklal. So what do we do now? We have a rule that you're not allowed to read Shalom Mitoch HaKsav. You can't read the written Torah Baal Peh. So how could it be that in these cases in the Gemara, people are reading Shalom Mitoch HaKsav? And furthermore, the Rishonim are all dealing with the fact that practically people are doing this all the time. Whether they're doing it having to do with Duchening or Parshas HaKarbonos or Kriya Shema or Psukim in other parts of Davening, people are doing it. So how do you figure this out? What are the limitations? So there are probably more, but I counted 9. We're going to go through them, and then we'll summarize what are the Iker Shibas. The Yerushalmi in Yuma, there in Perek Zayin Aloha Aleph, says, you know what it depends on? Whether it's Siduro Shalyom. Siduro Shalyom, the Kohen Gadol is just reading Siduro Shalyom, the Seder, the order of the day of what they're supposed to be Makriv, so they're having the Kriyas HaTorah Oba'asar. So that's Siduro Shalyom, that's not a violation. The Tosas in Tumura and our Gemara says, well, it's only what it says in the Chumash, not in the Nevi'im HaKsuvim. It's a din in Chumash. Similar to that Yerushalmi, that phantom Yerushalmi quoted in the Beis Yosef.
What do you do with the Gemara Nima?
So you have to have another teretz for that, and that's what Tosas is bothered by. So he's going to give you a second teretz. Number three, this is the second teretz in Tosas. The only issue is when you're trying to be motzi acherim. When this kriya is to be motzi others in their chiyuv, whatever that chiyuv is, then there's a limitation that it needs to be mitoch haksav. That's how you can explain that Gemara, and that's what the Torah quotes in the Rosh. And if you look, this is what Rav Bessal Zsolti, Zichron Levracha, says as the Pshat in the Rambam. Why does this din not appear in Hilchos Talmud Torah? Why does it not appear in Hilchos Kriya Shema or Tefillah earlier? It only applies in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Kriya Satorah, excuse me, because perhaps for the Rambam it's a din in Kriya Satorah. Kriya Satorah, as a formal obligation to be motzi other people, needs to be mitoch haksav. And maybe this is again the Rambam Lashitaso, following the logic of the Radvaz, following his Mahalach about how they wrote down the Torah Shebaal Peh initially, that it's all about the Tzura of the Masorah. What is Kriyas HaTorah? It's Talmud Torah Barabim. That is the example of what Talmud Torah looks like. It's a recreation of Maimed Har Sinai. Happens to be the Radvaz wrote a commentary on the Rambam, so they had a lot to do with each other. But I think all these shitas fit together. If you were to give this as like a one-shot Shavuos Night Shir, you take all of these Rambams, you put them together, they fit like a glove. For the Rambam, it's all about the Tzura of how Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be perpetuated. All Torah. How Torah is supposed to be perpetuated. Torah Shebechsav is supposed to be perpetuated Bechsav, just like it was at Maimon Har Sinai, and therefore that's the way it's going to be taught. You want to keep Torah Shebechsav notes for yourself or Torah Shebaal Peh notes for yourself? That's not the issue. The issue is, how are you passing on the Masorah? So if you're teaching it, it's got to be mitoch haksav. That's why Kriyas HaTorah has got to be mitoch haksav. If you're learning it, even if it's Baal Peh, you can learn it for yourself. That's not the transition of the Masorah. That's not the transmission of the Masorah. For the Rambam, it's all the same thing. It has nothing to do with making mistakes. It's all about the Tzura. Whereas for other Rishonim, it's about not making mistakes or not falling into pitfalls. The Mordechai, in Gittin, in Siman Tov Zayin, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, a different part. He says, it's all about what is common. Migras Grisin. Shogar Befiv. Does that sound like the Rambam? Fakir for the Rambam. Because it's about, if you know it, if you're fluent, you're not going to make a mistake. It's all about the practical. It's about the mistake. As opposed to the Rambam says, it's not about practical. It's about theoretical. The Kolbo and Simon Yugimel, he says, you know what the issue is? It's dafka when it's, quote, benigun hataimen. When it's with Trump. The Kolbo. One of the great Chachmei. Yeah, benigun hataimen. That's in the Kolbo, it's the quote. Benigun hataimen.
You have to do it to accept.
Then you have to do Bechsav. Exactly. The Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos we saw on Daf Hei, he says, it's Dafka, it's the following interesting way. It's Bedafka things that you have no right to ever read them and a Chiyuv to read them, that there's an Issa to read them Baal Peh. But once you have a Chova to read them, then everything's open. You have a Chiyuv to read Parshas Ha Avodas Yom Kippurim, if you have an obligation to read that, well, Mela, you're allowed to read it Shalom Mitoch Haksav. And not only that, all other Karbonos also. It's wild. Amazing. That's number six. Number seven, the Kolbo and Simon Beis. He says, you know when? When it's Yevsher Ben Yanacher. Why do people say Karbonos by heart? He says, because you can't expect that they're going to bring a Sefer Torah to Shul every single morning. It's just not going to happen. Number eight, the Shulta Gibor Megillah Daf Yudalat there on that same sugi with the Riv, in Daf Yudalat and the Daf Yariv, he says, you know what it's mutter when everybody says it together. That's okay. If one person tries to say it for others, it's not okay, but if everybody says it together, then it is okay. And the last, number nine, is the Tosfos Yeshanim and Yuma, who says when you have Divrei Shevach V'Hodah V'Alma, then it's mutter. It's almost the exact opposite of Rabbeinu Yonah. When something is a chova, then you're not allowed to read it Shalom mitoch haksav, but it's different shevach than ba'alma it's mutter. So of these nine shitas, Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rabbeinu Tam, migras grisin, which is ironic because the simple pshat is that the Rosh and the Rambam don't agree with that. And that's why perhaps the Vilna Gaon, he says, wait a second, the Gemara doesn't indicate anything about migras grisin. It sounds more like it's about being motzei acherim. That's what you get the impression. Says, take a look in that Gemara in Tanis. That's what it sounds like. So the Gra and other Achronim disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, and they say it's not a question of Migros Grisin. They say it's a Shaila being Motzi Acherim. So where does this come down, Lamaisa? in addition to the issue of writing, of reading from a Sefer Torah that's pasul, because it's Shalom Mitoch HaKsav, so that's one huge sugya, which is what the Mordechai in Megillah is dealing with. There is a fascinating tshuva, and we're going to end with this. In the Aseh L'Charav, in Chelek Vav, Simen Chav, of Rav Chaim David Halevi, he gets the following letter in 1984. Happened in a shul in Shabbos Nachamu. And he says, Tzar Rav Nigram Li B'Kriyaso. I was very upset about this. He says, what happens? There was a Simchas Chasen B'Beis HaKnesses. Sounds like it was a Sheva Brachas, although maybe the Ofra for Sfardim, maybe they call it Ofra for Simchas Chasen, it was a Sheva Brachas. And among the guests of this Sheva Brachas was a young man who the family asked that they should give him an aliyah. What's the problem? Never, mamish, heartbreaking. This young man was blind. The young man was blind because when he was serving the tzava, he was injured. So they asked the Rav, and the Rav said he can't have an aliyah. But they say, but in his shul, he gets an aliyah. This summa is all in the Torah. The Rav said, I know what to tell you. It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Lamites, Orachaim Kuf Lamites, Sif Gimel, that a summa is not all of the Torah. Why is a summa not all of the Torah? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Chuvas Harash, what? That's right. Storam Shiva Savi Torah Shalom about that.
But speaking about when the summa is the reading.
Oh, very good. So if you look there in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah in Kuf Lamites and Gimel, the Rambam quotes the Ma'aril, who says Bizman is it's mutter, because you have a Baal Koreh who's reading, and that was the minig. But it doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch.
So you
the Ashkenazim allow a summa to get an aliyah. Rav Chaim, I believe, is sure. Sorry. So he says, so the family, they walked out.
Wow.
They left the shul. They were so upset and they were so insulted. The young man, and it ruined their simcha. So this person sends the shaila to Rav Chaim David Halevi, what's the din? So you know what Rav Chaim David Halevi says? He says, I understand that the Rav of the Beis Knesses was following the Shulchan Aruch, but he should know that in such a circumstance, the minig in Sephardic communities was not like that. And he quotes Eidus from various Sephardic communities of various Chachamim, Tshuva Zera Avram, and others who say that not only do Ashkenazim have the minig to be Mala Asuma to the Torah, Bezman Hazeh, but even in Kilos of Sfarad. And therefore the proper thing with this sensitivity would have been to give this young man an aliyah and not to ruin the simcha. So to summary, we started with a question. What's the nature of this din? Is it a technical, formal iser, or is it more of guidelines and a framework for how Torah should exist? The Chasam Sofer said, it's an iser d'oraisa. And Rav Avadya said, what do you mean? Look at all these achronim, they all assume that it's not an iser d'oraisa. And that's going to be in both directions. Iser d'oraisa, to read Shalom Mitoch HaKsav, and to write what is Torah Shebaal Peh. The question, the fundamental question that we keep coming back to is, if you say it's an iser d'oraisa, that's because perhaps there's a formal technical issue here. As opposed to if you say it's an iser d'rabanan, it's more of a tzura. You could say the opposite, but maybe it makes more sense like this just for the moment. But either way, within that, we're going to keep coming back to this question. If you say that the sibas ha'iser is practical, so that would make sense to explain on the case of speaking out Tvarim Shebichsav, that would explain why the Beis Yosef quotes practical considerations, and that's why there are lots of practical limitations. Beis Yosef quotes those practical limitations and paskins halacha that it's up to, it depends on midrash reason. As opposed to if you say, no, it's more of a fundamental tzura, it doesn't really matter about whether or not you're going to make a mistake or not, it's similar to the Radvaz's Hesber. Well, if that's the case, then maybe it makes more sense to distinguish between Kriyas HaTorah Barabim, where it's a formal transmission of Torah,
And in that case, you would have that restriction. Whereas, like the Gra, whereas in other cases, we would be more lenient. And that's why B'smana said, halacha l'maisa, you see different practices. P'suka de Zimra, there's reason because of Migras Grisin, or because it's not in the Torah, it's only Nevi'im Iksuvim, and it's not L'hotze Acherim. So for all of these reasons, you'll find, as you go through, you know, the different sugyas, different exceptions as to why people did and do read lots of P'sukim in Tanakh, Shalom Mitoch HaKsav.